Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Next, on the OHIO podcast, we preview Ohio State's game against Rutgers, and we answer your true-false statements. And that all starts right now.
It's so easy to be average. You know it as well as I know it. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player. We don't have enough great players. To hell with that! We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
Proud of our young people in the classroom, in the community, and most especially in 310 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
Three things. Number one, the team that hits the hardest and the longest, the team that starts the fastest, and the team is too damn smart to make mistakes.
If you take it to them, if you don't make mistakes, and you keep taking it to them, hell, there's no question who wins.
It's time for the best Buckeye podcast. By fans, for the fans, where they hate that team up north as much as you do. It's time for the OHIO podcast. OHIO!
Welcome back to the OHIO podcast. Everybody, I'm your host, Buckeye Fox, recording live from beautiful North Central Ohio. And I am joined by both my co-hosts. Hey, before we get started, guys, let's send out a little prayer for our fan up north, Sean Butler. He lives down there in Florida, and I don't know if you guys saw the pictures, but he got drilled by that storm. So it was so bad. Chris, he has a picture of himself fishing off of his front patio onto the street that he lives on.
Wow. Yeah, I saw some of the pictures coming across the news networks. So I'll tell you, yeah. Something.
Yeah, so him, Lenny Zabo, we hope you're all doing good down there in Florida. All of our Buckeye fans down there in the Sunshine State who normally listen to us, obviously. If you listen to this, you're in our thoughts and prayers. The voice you heard, that was Chris, and the chuckle you heard, that was Aaron. Aaron, how's things going in Texas?
Starting to cool down, if you consider like 95 cool.
God, you're a jerk.
No, I'm not, because it's miserable.
I'd take 95. It's getting real cold here, which means Chris is a happy camper.
Oh, I'm loving this stuff, Eric. I'm just waiting for the snow to start falling. I'll tell you right now, I was driving home, couldn't help it. Had to stop. Got myself a new Christmas decoration.
Well, here we go.
I got myself my Santa gnome.
Dude, already?
You know, it's a fight right now between me and my daughter about whether I'm going to get my decorations up before Halloween.
I just heard Bobby say no in the background.
There it is.
Well, you did just hear Bobby say no in the background.
The decision's been made there, Chris.
Yes. Hey, Chris, before we tell everybody about the Buckeyes Brats and Brews that we're going to be attending next weekend, you got a pretty cool story from the Ohio State store and lots more today. Why don't you share that with everybody?
Well, yeah, Eric, I'm feeling a little bit, I don't know what you call it, Facebook famous since we podcast, but we had a listener stop by the store today. Teresa Edson stopped in, got a few supplies for her next Buckeye adventure. It was really nice getting a chance to talk with her. She said she listens to us all the time. Asked when we were going to put out our Rutgers preview show. I let her know we were going to be recording tonight. And I'll tell you guys, thankfully she reminded me because I was still living in Wednesday and I didn't have show notes till she said something to me.
This week has kind of gone by, hasn't it?
Well, I've been bouncing around from school to school. I had kindergartners this week, preschoolers last week. It's been an adventure.
Next Saturday, October 8th, Chris and I, we will be taking the show on the road to the Buckeyes Brats and Brews Bash at the Marietta Elks Lodge, number 477 in Marietta, Ohio. That's located at 414 Colgate Drive in Marietta. Doors open at 2 p.m. Of course, the game starts at 4 against Michigan State. And our buddy Mike Wargo, he will be there, as well as former Buckeye Jamal Luke. They will both be there to sign autographs, take pictures with people. And, since you're Facebook famous, maybe someone wants to take a picture with you too, Chris. We had a whole group of people in Pittsburgh take their picture with us.
Oh, yeah. We had such a great time in Pittsburgh. Always a good time when Mike's helping throw the party, man.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, I can't wait to see what happens next weekend.
Well, it's gonna be great when you have brats and brews and involved. I'm sure it's gonna be a good time. So, we want to invite all of our listeners in Southeast Ohio, or if you just want to take a nice little road trip, come down to Marietta. It's open to the public. It's absolutely free. It's at the Elks Lodge in Marietta, 414 Colgate Drive in Marietta. Show starts at 2 o'clock. Chris, we're going to be doing a live podcast from there as far as on spot. Be doing some interviews with Mike Wargo. Jamal will be playing games. They've got all kinds of things, activities, including kids' activities, believe it or not. But they've got a lottery ticket raffle. They've got a liquor wheel, which that just sounds like trouble, if you ask
me. Either one of those could get me in a whole lot of trouble, Eric.
Cornhole. They've got a 50-50 raffle. They're going to have four big screen TVs set up. They say their buckets of beer are six beers for $12. Man,
don't get that at the stadium.
No kidding. It's open to the public. And, of course, they said the podcast is going to be presented by the OHIO podcast. And that's us. So we're going to be there. It's going to be a great time. We want to invite all of you out there next Saturday, October 8th, for the first away game for our Buckeyes. Last home game before they go on the road to take on Sparty. And, guys, I'll just be honest with you. The second part of this show is going to be much more entertaining because, Aaron, Rutgers is, as you like to say, trash.
Dumpster juice, son. Softer than baby crap. For sure.
Let's dive into the Scarlet Knights, shall we? There's not a whole lot to talk about here, but let's try our very, very best to at least give you a smidgen of a preview before this Saturday. And then the second part of this show, we're going to have a true or false that's going to be awesome because it's all fan submitted. And boy, there's some really good ones. All right, Ohio State versus Rutgers by the numbers. Of course, Ohio State leads the all-time series 8-0. Last year, the Buckeyes won 52-13, and that was in Piscataway, New Jersey. Last time they played in CBUS, well, that was back in the shortened 2020 season. That was actually the closest game between Ohio State and Rutgers, and it was Ohio State 49-27 victory. As I recall, I believe, Chris, that was the game when Schiano brought out all the trick plays imaginable to keep that thing close. Largest margin of victory, well, that was back in 2016 under Urban Meyer. It was a 58-0 shellacking. And, of course, here's an interesting little note for you. Ryan Day's record against Rutgers all time, well, he's at 3-0. And Greg Schiano's record against Ohio State all time is 0-2. Ohio State has never scored less than 49 points in those 8 games against Rutgers, while the Scarlet Knights have never scored more than 27. Only 2 times have they scored in the 20s, and they have been shut out twice by the Buckeyes, and they've been kept out of the end zone 3 out of those 8 games. Guys, given what we have seen from Ohio State the past couple weeks,
I'm looking for more of the same come this Saturday. Chris, why don't you break down statistically what we can expect from both the Buckeyes and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights heading into Saturday's homecoming in the Shoe?
Well, guys, this could be a rough one for the Scarlet Knights. Rutgers comes in ranked 96th in the nation in yards gained offensively per game. They are only 84th in the nation in scoring at 28.5 points a game. The offense is led by quarterback Evan Simon. Simon comes in 55 of 89 for 556, three touchdowns, again, two interceptions. Simon is, however, coming off his first 300-yard passing game versus a pretty stingy Iowa defense, where he was 28 of 49 for 300 yards. He did have a touchdown, but he also had two interceptions. Now, it's running back by committee for the Scarlet Knights, guys. Rutgers has five rushers with over 100 yards this season, but no one with 200 yards. Leading the way is sophomore Kyle Menangi. We'll go with that. He has 42 carries for 157 yards and two touchdowns. Sophomore running back Alshady Salam is second with 25 carries for 145 yards and two touchdowns. And freshman running back Samuel Brown has 27 carries for 131 yards and two touchdowns. Perhaps the most interesting stat among those 100-yard rushers is tight end Johnny Langan has more rushing yards than receiving yards this season. He's got 19 carries for 120 yards. He's only got eight catches for 86 yards and a touchdown on the season. Rounding out those 100-yard rushers is backup quarterback Gavin Wimsett, who carried the ball 13 times for 106 yards this season. Now, while it's running back by committee, there is no question about the pecking order at wide receiver. Aaron Cruikshank leads the team with 18 receptions for 156 yards and two touchdowns. Shameen Jones is second on the team with eight receptions for 101. Guys, this is not a prolific passing offense, as you can tell. They do have a legitimate deep threat in sophomore Chris Long. However, he's seen limited action this season. For the Scarlet Knights this year, the wideout has four catches, but he is averaging 22.5 per catch and does have a touchdown in his four receptions. Going over to the defensive side of the ball, well, Rutgers has the nation's ninth best defense coming in against the Buckeyes. They're allowing 249.5 yards per game and just 4.16 yards per play. The defense is very stingy, surrendering only 17.25 points per game. The team has forced seven turnovers through four games, including five interceptions and two fumbles, and they have 16 passes defended during that time as well. They do also have one defensive touchdown. Now, defensive back Christian Isaian, he leads the team in tackles with 33. He's also tied for the team lead in defended passes with two. Defensive tackle Wesley Bailey, he's the team's sack leader. He's got 2.5 to go with his 9 tackles. They got a couple of fairly decent linebackers, one of those being Tyreen Powell. He's pretty solid in coverage. He's got one pass defended. He's got 22 tackles, and he does have two sacks on the season as well. And defensive back Roger Longerbeam is the team's interception leader. He's got two. He's also tied for the team lead in forced fumbles with one. He has 13 tackles, and he has a sack on the season. Now, this is a solid defensive team against teams like Iowa, Temple, Wagner, and Boston College. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how they fare against a pretty explosive Ohio State offense and see if they can actually perform like a top 10 defense against real competition. So let's talk a little bit about that Ohio State offense. Ohio State is currently second in the nation in offensive yards gained at 558.8. They're third in the nation at scoring at 48.8 yards per game. The team is, of course, led by Heisman candidate C.J. Stroud. Stroud has 79 of 112 on the season. He's got 1,222 yards passing, 16 touchdowns versus only one interception. We have a two-headed monster in the backfield at Ohio State with Travion Henderson, who has 50 carries for 318 yards and three touchdowns. And then Mayan Williams, with 308 yards and three touchdowns on the season, trailing Henderson by just a few carries. Emeka Egbuka comes in as the leading receiver on the team. He has 26 receptions, which is best on the team. He has 442 yards, also best on the team. And he is tied for the team lead with five touchdowns. Along with Egbuka, we have Marvin Harrison Jr., who comes in with 21 catches for 387. He has five touchdowns. Cade Stover having an extremely solid season, maybe one of the best we've seen from a tight end. I don't know, since maybe Ben Hartsock a few years back there. And he's got 12 catches for 188 yards, two touchdowns, at least four full body flips, and a finally healthy Julian Fleming. He has contributed seven catches for 90 yards, three touchdowns on the season. And guys, this doesn't even include the best receiver in college football in Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's been sidelined by injury most of this season. Now, defensively, and we've talked a lot about what would happen if Ohio State had a top 20 defense. Guys, we come into this game ranked 18th in the country in yards surrendered. This team has given up less yards to its four opponents combined than C.J. Stroud has passed for this season. The Buckeyes defense has only surrendered 1,132 yards on the season over the four games, an average of 283 per game. They're only giving up 4.8 yards per play. And a lot of that yardage has come in trash time versus the second team defense. Ohio State is 21st in scoring defense, allowing only 16 points a game on average. The defense, of course, is led by that tackling beast known as Tommy Eichenberg. Eichenberg comes in with 33 tackles and two sacks over the four games. Twice this year already, he has been named the Big Ten, either the defensive or co-defensive player of the week. We have five players accounting for nine sacks this season: Eichenberg, Sawyer, Mike Hall Jr., and Javonte Jean-Baptiste all have two, and they are tied for the team lead. The other remaining sack goes to linebacker Steele Chambers, who does have one on the season. The Buckeyes have two interceptions this year as well, one by Ronnie Hickman versus Toledo, and the other was that big momentum changer last week, which pretty much sunk the Badgers early, by Tanner McAllister. Guys, this defense is way improved this season. It all starts up front, where we are making quarterbacks uncomfortable. We have solid linebacker play. Three of our top four tacklers are at the linebacker position on the season. And the defensive backs, while we've struggled, they're containing defenses. I think Rutgers is going to have an extremely difficult time moving the ball on this Buckeye defense. But Aaron, tell me if I'm wrong.
You are not wrong. Not one single bit. As I mentioned earlier, I feel like Rutgers is extremely soft all the way across the board. I mean, they do have a couple guys. That's going to be every team. Every team that we face is going to have a couple guys. But for the most part, this team is extremely soft and vanilla, if you ask me. I watched them play Boston College in Iowa. That's where I got my film breakdown for this week, because I felt like whatever I was going to see against Wagner was probably a waste of time. And then I forget who else they played, but I probably not going to get much out of that either. But looking at Rutgers' offense, if we get a lot of pressure, their quarterbacks will throw ill-advised passes. Their O-line looks weak. Boston College and Iowa, for that matter, not exactly defensive juggernauts this season. They did pretty well against that offensive line. Rutgers, as far as like their what they do, they run a ton of 10 and 11 personnel, and they didn't really do much else. They're, like I said, they're very vanilla. What they will do, though, is switch their personnel around. So you mentioned the name Johnny Langan earlier. He used to be their quarterback, but he is one of their best athletes, and that's why he has, you know, so many rushing yards and receiving yards. And not that those were great numbers, but compared to the rest of the team, he's kind of their guy, you know, he's their athlete. So out of 10 personnel, what I noticed, they like to do running back motion to the flats. And what that is a distraction, because they will run a wide receiver screen to the middle. And as long as the linebackers stay home and read their keys and do the right thing, that's a non-issue. Out of 10 personnel, they also like to do two running back sets. So I guess that's really 20 personnel, but for the sake of this, we'll call it 10 because they're weird how they do things. Two running back sets, they do a lot of read option out of that. And 10 personnel, they also like to do a lot of quick comeback routes, so short. Typically, those are like 15, 20 yards. They'll do like 10 to 15. Out of 11 personnel, they'll run a lot of tight end. This is where you'll see Johnny Langan really, really show up. So tight end wing motion, pass to the flats. A lot of times that's to Johnny Langan. They also like to hit their tight ends through the seams. They'll run split zone read option, and they are not too bad at running that, surprisingly. They had a lot of success against Boston College with it. They also like to do RPOs. And then a little trickery they like to do. They'll run trips out of 11 personnel, and they'll run a reverse. And they do this – I saw them run it at least four times between the two games that I watched. Johnny Langan will be at quarterback. Like, they'll put him back there. And this is what I mean when I say they'll switch their personnel around a little bit. Like, he primarily plays tight end, but they will put him at running back, and they will put him at quarterback and let him do his thing. But they will have him at quarterback, and then he'll hand it off like it's a sweep or a read. And this is like the trickery that I was talking about. It's not so much the traditional trick play, the old flea flicker, but he'll do like a read option. But if he hands it off, the one of the wide receivers out of trips will come back around, and the running back will either keep it or he will hand it off. And they get a lot of successful runs out of that. And I don't mean like 70-yard runs, but enough to do some damage, get a first down or get close to it. So basically on defense, Ohio State needs the linebackers to stay home and be disciplined. Pressure the quarterback, blitz, put the pressure on these guys. Make them throw those ill-advised passes. Show the world that this offensive line is as weak as they look on film. Rutgers also likes to do inside-outside zone. Surprise, surprise. That's basically the nature of the spread offense these days. But as far as coverage, I think what I saw a lot, cover three worked really well. And then, man, that worked really well because their wide receivers are not – there's nothing to write home about on this offense. I'll just leave it at that. Okay. Now moving to Rutgers defense, they run a multi defense. I saw them run 4-3. They had a 4-2-5. They had 4-2-5 with a stand up similar to how we do it. 3-3-5. They mix it up quite a bit. They will blitz from the corner position. Linebacker coverage looked pretty weak. They do have the one guy that Chris talked about, but he's not like all world, okay? So he is totally beatable, and he's – you'll see. They do disguise their coverages quite well. They'll walk up the linebackers, drop them into coverage, and then they'll also run zone blitz out of that. So the idea there is to confuse the opposing quarterback, make him think that they're coming. And honestly, that it worked against Boston College a little bit. They've had a couple fumbles because of I don't think their quarterback could handle seeing that. He was anticipating like seven guys coming at him when only like three or four did. So he messed up. He made mistakes. I don't think that's going to happen with CJ Stroud. I think we are better coached than that. But something that did kind of catch my eye is Rutgers is actually quite good at running the cover two. They create this little window where the quarterback has to throw an accurate and timely pass. And if not, they will get an interception. They'll bat the ball down. They play pretty solid cover two defense. But on the flip side, the whole defense is not very great at tackling. And again, they're soft. Iowa absolutely pushed them around. So and listen, I know that Iowa's bread and butter is tight end passing and running the ball, but Rutgers just. Yeah, you know, we talked about Iowa earlier this season. The first game, they didn't even score a touchdown. It was like a field goal and two safeties or something. So this is not a great Iowa offense. So for them to be shoving Rutgers around like that, I think that ninth overall or that ninth ranking nationally is really clouded by the game with Wagner. Ohio State on offense, what we can do to beat them is pretty much anything we want, if I'm being honest. But if you want some specifics, I could see tight end seams, seam routes, little out routes. I could see that being a good option. Shallow crossing routes worked well. Running back screen, Boston College hurt him pretty bad. So did Iowa with that. On cover three, if they show cover three, I think that's a really good opportunity to go deep. Now, listen, okay, I watched the Iowa film. Sam Laporta, their tight end, is not what I think of when I think of fast runners, okay? And he beat them deep on a single high safety look. So imagine our wide receivers. Imagine Cade Stover, okay? I think this is a really good opportunity for the offense to pad some stats. And honestly, I don't see this game going any differently than what history has shown us, where Ohio State scores less than 49 and they score more than 27. In fact, I think it's going to be a lot worse than that. And defensively, I think it's a good opportunity for Ohio State. The young guys, the young corners that we saw play against Wisconsin, I think it's another good opportunity for them to get some in-game experience, learn some things, get some experience, create turnovers again. This is a really good game to get that experience in there.
So tomorrow, Saturday, I'm going to the game. Aaron, this is a day I have dreamed about. I'm taking my son to his first Ohio State game.
Awesome. Yeah. That's going to be great.
I know. And well, I asked him, I said, any game other than Notre Dame in Michigan, any other game on the schedule, you get to choose what you want to go to. And he said, he laughed. He says, I want to go to Rutgers. I went, what? Rutgers? Why? He goes, so I can watch us score a ton of points.
Well, that's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It is. This is going to be eerily reminiscent to Toledo, I think.
Yeah, I've got 63-6. I think we hold them out of the end zone, a couple field goals, 63-6. Chris?
All right, so yeah, Eric, I actually was very close to you. I had it at 63-3.
All right, and Aaron, your prediction?
Oh, I'm going to say 70-10.
All right, we're all about right in the same ballpark there, so I'm liking it. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got the true or false statements from you fans. We got our Big Ten power rankings. So we've got some stuff we need to do, but you're going to love this true false. So hang around.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. All right, first off, I got to say, at first I was like, where is all you at? Like, come on, man. Last week we had like two questions. And for the first 24 hours when I threw this opportunity out, the only one person replied with anything good. And then today the bomb was dropped. We got some good ones. Let's start with Jeff DeBrosi. True or false? 5 Buckeyes will be taken in the first round of the 2023 NFL draft. Now, before we answer this, let's think about this for a second. Right away, I can think of C.J. Stroud. I can think of the left tackle, Jones, right? Or Johnson.
Yep.
What about Eichenberg? Is he quickly becoming a first-round draft pick? JSN, obviously. There's three.
I think Eichenberg would go high second round right now. He just doesn't. I just don't think he has the body of work. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. If it was me, I'd take him first round. But I think that in the eyes of the NFL, I don't know that he has the body of work.
Paris Johnson Jr. That's who I was thinking of at left tackle. C.J. Stroud, Jackson Smith, Njigba, Paris Johnson Jr. Those are, I think, three guaranteed first round draft picks. I think Tommy Eichenberg's a possibility.
I think it's possible.
Ronnie Hickman?
No.
Second round? Third round?
Probably third or fourth.
Cameron Brown? Can't stay.
No. Though. Yeah, he's not. I like him. He's good, but I don't know that he's first round. He's
by his health.
Yep. I think his health is an issue. DeJuan Jones?
Possibly.
I think that if he gets invited to the combine and he performs well, I think that he could earn his way into it.
Cade Stover. Jeremy,
what is his,
in the second.
What is Cade Stover's height?
I don't know. That's a good
question. Because that's gonna matter. At tight end, that will matter.
Let's look that up real fast while you do that. So we're on the verge of saying three guaranteed, maybe four. He's 6'4", 255.
Yeah, I don't know that that's first round. No. Notice that a lot of NFL tight ends are 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", with bigger bodies.
Okay, so we're going to say false.
Yeah.
All right. You agree with that, Chris? False?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's false as well.
We're at three, maybe four. I think.
Who's our three that we said for sure? JSN,
CJ Stroud, and Paris Johnson Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's about what we got right now.
Now, I think there are some possibilities for future first rounders, but it won't be in this year's draft because they're sophomores.
I'm with that. Yep, I agree. Right?
I mean, JT Tumulau, Sawyer. You've got Travion Henderson. Oh, we forgot Mayan Williams. I was just gonna say,
what about if Mayan goes over 1,000 yards?
No, he still won't go in the first. He still won't go in the first round.
He won't. You got to be Derrick Henry good to get first round, and we love Mayan. He's great, mm-hmm. but he's not Derrick Henry.
See, yeah. Saquon Barkley. Those are
first round guys. Yeah.
All right, Brian Lee Oberst. Who I don't like this one. Jaxon Smith-Njigba will not play for the rest of the season. True or false?
False.
That's false.
Not over a hammy.
You say that like it's no big deal. I had a hammy injury, man. That thing lingered all season.
Yeah, I've played with it too, but he's gonna play. He's not it may take a few more games, you know what I mean, but he's gonna play again.
My theory is that he could play. They're just holding him out because they don't want it to be re-injured, and there's no reason for him to play at this moment.
Agreed.
I think agreed. So
yeah, there's no reason. We get look at the receiving core that we have and look how they've performed. They're killing it.
Yep. Eric Osbeck, Maryland is not going to improve and be the giant killer we thought they were. True.
I'll say false. I don't know that they'll be a giant killer, but they will get better. The only way they don't is if they have like the injury situation they did last year.
Yeah, I think they get better, and I sure the hell hope they're not a giant killer because there's only one giant left on their schedule.
That's
I was yeah.
Penn State.
I don't count Penn State as a giant yet.
Ooh. Where's Kevin?
Kevin. Yeah. Yeah, go on.
Oh,
all right.
Man, Chris just threw the gauntlet out and said, steel cage, Kevin. Oh, huh. Shoot.
Got him.
That was with fire, too.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm going to put some hot sauce on that statement. I'm going to say false, but I believe it's false because I think Maryland had – if Maryland would have cleaned up a couple things, they would have won that game in the big house last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And so here's what's scary. They get us at home the week before the game.
That's a trap game.
It is big time. Big time trap. All right. Let's see here. There's a couple more I wanted to read. Tom Hunt. I think he's talking about this weekend. Dallin Hayden will get more playing time and gain more yards than either Henderson or Williams. I think he's talking about this Saturday, since it's against.
I think that could be true. only because I could see Henderson and Williams splitting the playing time and then it getting so out of control that Hayden's in there because Day doesn't want to risk the other two guys' health.
Yeah, I could see them getting the JSN treatment for sure. If we're up 49 to whatever, a lot to a little at halftime, that's a for sure thing right there. There's no reason for the other two to be in the game. Like, let Dallin Hayden get his experience in there. So I'll go with true.
Yeah, good one, Tom. Three of us say true. I agree. I think that this is a stat padding opportunity for CJ Stroud. He's got the lead in the Heisman. Ryan Day knows that, and Ryan Day is no dummy. He knows if he can get a Heisman winning quarterback, what that does for recruiting moving forward. So he's going to pad some stats if he gets the opportunity.
Wait a minute. Here's a question for you. Does CJ Stroud play into the beginning of the fourth quarter again?
Third.
You think? Okay.
Here's what I want to see happen this Saturday. I want to see Ryan Day say, you're going to score 7 passing touchdowns and break this freaking record of 6.
I hope so.
Everybody and their brothers got 6 passing touchdowns for the record. Like, there's like 8 guys tied for it. We needed someone to get 7. 7 touchdowns. He can do it.
Let's try to name them.
Name who they are?
Yeah, for funsies. I know JT Barrett, Kenny Guyton.
Do you have it pulled open? Do I need to look this up real fast?
Look it up.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say Art Schleister, Kenny Guyton. Okay.
Let me find out the exact number before you get started. Because I threw the number 8 out there, but I don't know if it's actually that.
I thought there was 4 or 5.
Okay, here we go. Statistical leaders. Let's see. Let's scroll down to – where's my pad? Rushing. All right, here we go. Single game passing touchdowns. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But here's the deal. 3 of them have done it twice. So that's 8. So I was right. 8 times this has been done, but it's been done by 5 guys.
Okay.
Aaron, you start.
Okay. Art Schleister.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Dwayne Haskins.
Wayne Haskins did it twice.
Kenny Guyton.
Kenny Guyton did it once.
JT Barrett.
JT Barrett did it twice.
CJ Stroud.
Has done it twice. You're missing one guy.
Troy Smith.
Nope.
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields.
Ah.
And he did it against Clemson in 2020 in the bowl game.
Ah, yep. I forgot about that. Well, it's probably because I was deployed and didn't get to see it. So.
How about Kenny Guyton was the first one to do it?
Yeah, he did it against California, didn't he?
Florida A&M.
Florida A&M. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I was at that.
He won the game against California, though, as a starter.
Yeah. That's right.
And then he also beat Purdue in the comeback in overtime.
He did do that, didn't he?
Yeah. He's why he's smooth jazz, baby.
That's right.
One of the greatest backup quarterbacks in Ohio State history, him and Cardale Jones. Hands down, the greatest backup quarterbacks in Ohio State history.
The fact Kenny Guyton didn't start is beyond me. I remember seeing him when Terrell Pryor was still there, like in the spring game. And I know this doesn't necessarily mean everything in the world, but he by far outperformed Terrell Pryor. All his throws were way, way better.
Okay, you want the stat that just blows your mind?
Let's have it.
All right, CJ Stroud has twice thrown for 6 touchdowns. Would you like to take a stab at how many times he has thrown for 5?
7.
You are so close.
8.
It was 6.
6. Okay.
Yep. So here they are. He has done it in 2021. He did it against Purdue. Let's see. He did it against Rutgers. He did it against Maryland. Nebraska, and then this year he's done it against Toledo and Wisconsin. Amazing.
Well, it tells you. Well, look at the development of quarterbacks at Ohio State in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
especially like look in the last 5 years. Look how much better it's gotten. And Ryan Day has played the biggest part in that, I think. Because he's been with the program since, what, 2017?
16, right?
He's been here for 6 years.
Yeah.
He was. Are you sure?
Yeah, he was offensive coordinator. Let's see. He was the offensive coordinator for JT's last year.
Okay, so, yep, 2016. And look at the development of quarterbacks since that time. Crazy.
No, that was 17, wasn't it? Because you had – who was after JT? I'm missing somebody. Dwayne, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was Dwayne.
So Dwayne was 2018, so JT was 2017 was his last year.
Yeah, just right. Felt like he was here for 10 years.
It did. Eric Osbeck, he submitted to. The tight end position will become a prominent part of the offense, especially near the end of the season. Already seems to be more prominent than we've ever experienced before, but the tight end position will become a prominent part of the offense, especially near the end of the season. True or false?
Dude, the way that they're using Cade Stover is how I thought they were going to use Jeremy Ruckert.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I'm with you, Eric. It's already a prominent role. Look at his stats already. Look how they're using him. He's not just a blocker.
Right. But when you say prominent, do you think he's meaning in the passing game? Because
he
obviously means the passing game because I can just hear Kevin Wilson right now say that the tight end position is prominent even if you don't catch the ball.
Yeah, that's coach talk. You know what I mean? What I mean is like, unless you go to Iowa or, you know, old Michigan with Jim Harbaugh running, or Stanford when Jim Harbaugh was there, or Wisconsin, like the tight end is never going to get the most targets. You know what I mean? So looking at the fact we had Jeremy Ruckert, we had guys in recent years that were, you know, pretty solid, like Jake Stoneburner and who, you know, some other guys like that that did pretty well. Cade Stover is showing that he's more athletic than those guys. You know, I think that it's already considered prominent compared to what we've seen in the recent past, right, or the past and in general.
I would even argue this, too. It's not always about getting the most targets. It's about what you do with them. And his targets are counting right now.
Oh, yeah, they are. True. Great point, Chris.
Even if he doesn't get a lot of yards, he's punishing defenders.
Oh, yes, he is.
Well, getting these yards, it's first downs, it's touchdowns. It's, you know, he's making his touches count.
Yes.
So I looked up some stats early the other day. He's got, let's see, let me do some quick math here. 5, 8. He's got 12 receptions already through the first four games. True or false? Cade Stover will have more catches than Ben Hartsock did in 2003, which was 33, which is the record at Ohio State for a tight end, by the way.
Yes, Pat, yes. That's a true.
True.
That's okay. True.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent.
He's already a third of the way. He's over a third of the way there already.
I know. All right, here we go. Best one. And this is from Joseph Ebright. And Joseph, by the way, says he wants to come on the podcast. And Joseph, just for submitting this freaking epic true or false question, we're going to make that happen, dude. Make sure you send me a message. We got to get you on the show, man. This is awesome. It just blew my mind when he posted this one, because this is going to be debatable, and I think we're not all going to agree here. True or false? Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Egbuka are a better duo than Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson.
Boy, that is a good one.
Yeah, in their sophomore years, yes.
What'd you say, Chris?
In their sophomore years, yes. Are they going to finish as a better duo? That's tough. I mean, you're talking about two guys that both went in the top 12 picks of the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point.
That's tough. You know, Olave, I think, is probably one of the, if not the best route runner we have ever seen at Ohio State.
Well, I'll tell you this much. That dude, Olave, is smooth.
Yes.
He's silky smooth.
Indeed. That's why I have him on my fantasy
Garrett
team.
Wilson is just, you know, so athletic and can do so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're good.
Saying
I just
false. I look, hear you guys saying false.
I'm saying false, and that's because I have not seen enough to say that these guys as a tandem are going to go top 12 in the draft. I can't honestly sit here and say that. I'm not saying they both won't go first round, but top 12 together, I don't know. Only time will tell.
Oh, gosh. This one is so tough because I think they have – I truly believe they have the potential to be better.
Yes.
I think Marvin Harrison Jr., when it's all said and done, might be the best Ohio – like the best pro wide receiver come out of Ohio State since Chris Carter.
Well, good Lord, I hope so. Look at his lineage. Look at the mentorship he has had his whole life.
Dude, literally, it's written in his DNA to be great.
Yeah. That's what I mean. His mentorship, the lineage. His dad is one of the greatest to ever do it at wide receiver. And that's what he grew up around. That's what he grew up watching.
And he is just, I mean, the physical stature,
Yes.
Ability, the athleticism, he has every, you know, in baseball we talk about five tool players. This guy has every single box check mark.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be, I would not be surprised if he does not go down as Ohio State's greatest receiver ever.
So if that statement is true that you just made right there, and Emeka Egbuka is currently on pace to be every bit as productive as Garrett Wilson was or Olave, how is this not a true statement then?
Because you just said it, Eric. If it is true, I said he has the tools to do it. And I believe he will, but he hasn't achieved it yet.
So what Joseph has called – what he's asking us to do is to look out in the future on this one, to project here. And here's the only reason why I say this is false, and it could be true, but at the moment false. After this year, we don't know what we're going to have at quarterback.
Yeah, that's a big factor. Who's throwing him the ball?
You know what? And Day, I trust. Let me tell you.
That's true.
I'm pretty confident whoever's coming up behind will have a Heisman contender again.
All right.
So Is it Kyle McCord or is it Devin Brown? Let's talk about that.
It's Kyle McCord right now.
It's Kyle McCord. Next year, it's Kyle McCord.
I mean, it's obvious that he's got – if anything were to happen to C.J. Stroud, knock on wood, pray to the football gods, et cetera, he's going Kyle McCord right now. I mean, he's made that perfectly clear.
Right.
And if he does, is Devin Brown still here?
I don't know. So unless – Devin Brown makes a significant push in the offseason, which I'm not saying he can't. I think this is Kyle McCord's job to lose next spring.
And McCord has looked pretty good when he's gotten the opportunity this year.
Yeah, he hasn't been bad.
No, yeah, he's been great handing turn around and handing the ball off.
I was going to say, how many real passes has he gotten to throw?
He had that
like
one to Jaden Ballard that was pretty
good. Yes, the one to Ballard against Toledo.
But even that Day admitted was a broken play. It really wasn't what the play call was.
Yeah.
Ballard slipped past the defense and he found him and saw him. And because it was mop up duty. He was really just wanting him to just, you know, dink and dunk, get the first down, turn around and hand the football off, play nice to a fellow team in Ohio, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes out there and throws a 70-yard bomb. That Ballard did most of the work on. Let's be
honest. Well, you know what? The play was broken, and McCord and Ballard fixed it. Good enough.
There you go. There you go.
I'll take it.
Well said. Well said. Great question. I think this is one that's going to have to be revisited, Joseph, because only time will tell. But as of this moment, we're saying false. But that doesn't mean in a year we won't be saying true to that statement. And it's really hard for me to go against my sixth grade dance teacher, Chris Olave. He's doing it in the NFL. By the way, he was the rookie of the month, offensive rookie of the month in the NFL.
That's my wide receiver.
Yeah, that's your guy.
And Aaron's smiling right now because he's playing me this week, and Mike Thomas is down, so that just increases his touches.
Facts, son. Facts. You're going down.
Right now, Aaron's in first place in our division right now.
And that ain't changing.
After being dead last year. So
let's face it. He's got Steelers in that title. He'll find a way to blow it.
Ooh. What do you mean?
Wait a minute.
We have the most Super Bowls in history, tied with the Patriots. And it wasn't until a few years ago that they caught up with us.
That's right.
Do they sell crack pipes at your store? Don't tell me you ain't playing with the crack pipes.
Chris, how many Super Bowls has your team won?
Doesn't matter.
You should have said as many as mine.
Hey, Eric, the Browns are undefeated in the Super Bowl. Almost there.
Yeah. You can't lose it if – what's that meme where that guy's pointing to the side of his head and he's like, can't lose it if you don't play?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's great. Great job, everybody. Well done on submitting those true or false questions. We'll do that again later this season. That was a lot of fun. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about our power rankings before we move on to our big game predictions and wrap this show up. So Ohio State and the team up north remain 1-2. Hey, Minnesota and Penn State flip-flopped this week after Minnesota just absolutely blitzkrieged Sparty, and Penn State struggled a little bit against a MAC team. So Minnesota 3, Penn State 4. Maryland, despite losing to that team up north, remains at number 5. In at 6-7 after being near the basement is Iowa and Illinois. And, guys, that's because Wisconsin and Sparty – just looked so bad. We did not know. No one knew what to put there. Iowa 6, Illinois 7. There's your top half. Aaron, again, now this is a 5-team race, man. This is terrible. When Iowa and Illinois are 6-7, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't either, man. And it's kind of like we discussed on the last show. You know, it's like after the top five, it's kind of just shake them up in a bag and throw it on the table. Like, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. They're all that bad. I that's kind of just my reaction toward these rankings. It's just I don't know what else to say about it. It's kind of wild, you know. Nebraska in the basement, like what? Yeah, Tom Osborne, it would be, I don't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just that bad, dude. Like that's I never thought in my lifetime I would see Nebraska this bad.
Yeah, Iowa hosts that team up north, and of course the Michigan fans are trying to say that this is a tough opponent on the road. No, it's not, you guys. Watch some film.
They said the same thing against Hawaii, Connecticut.
If you don't beat them by 20 points, 21 points or more, then you should feel like your season's in shambles because that's a bad football team, I'm telling you. So there's that to look forward to, I guess, is all the great response from them. Penn State's got a tough one this week against Northwestern.
Dude, okay, hang on a minute. Speaking of Northwestern, did you see the new stadium concept?
$6 billion.
Yeah, for 12,000 fewer seats.
Yeah, it's what, 35,000, I think, is the capacity?
How are they going to pay for this? Like, you're losing that much. Like 12,000 seats is a lot of money. How are they going to fund this thing? Like, beer sales? Because they're all depressed?
I guess they've raised a ton from alumni.
They do have a rich alumni.
They do. They're a very good academic institution, so I would expect something like that. But still, man, come on.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I thought I'd heard him talking on the radio today that approximately one-third of the cost of the stadium had been raised by alumni.
Wow. Well, that helps. That certainly helps.
This. When I saw that, and I know we're celebrating 100 years in the shoe, and I know this sounds sacrilegious and people are going to be all up in arms with me.
Don't you say this.
There will be a day soon where that it's going to happen here, too.
No.
Aaron.
Where are they going to build it, dude?
In the sky. It doesn't matter. They'll find a place, man. It'll be built.
And let me tell you, with the athletic guys that we've brought in, especially at the skill positions, do you think they do a dome?
I'd be all for it, dude. I love Indy. I love Indy.
I could see them doing a dome. Indy.
How many seats?
That's fast.
75,000, 80,000.
Yeah.
Oh no. Because
tickets
no.
aren't hard enough to get already.
Dude, that's wrong.
Hey, if they did, I'm telling you straight up, if they did, how many does Dallas hold, Jerry World?
Over 100,000. I think so.
It'll be Jerry World. But what I'm telling you is they would be able to host Super Bowls there.
Okay, well, that's what I'm getting at. If they were to do something like Jerry's World, I'd be okay with that. It hurts because of the tradition, you know, the horseshoe. That's what we've always called it. That's what we all know and love. But if they build a Jerry's World, that puts us on another level that Alabama cannot match.
It does. All right, let's move forward. We can't get on this too much. This says this is an off-season topic that we need to dive into. Minnesota actually does. I mean, they host Purdue in an interesting game this weekend. So that, keep your eye on that one. Also, Illinois and Wisconsin do battle. So that's the 7 and 8 team. So the bottom half is Wisconsin 8, Sparty 9. They drop a lot. Purdue, after their win, comes up to 10. Rutgers drops a lot to 11. Indiana drops to 12. And, of course, Northwestern 13. Nebraska 14. So the bottom half again, Wisconsin, Sparty, Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana, Northwestern, and Nebraska. So the big games this week on the docket in the Big Ten, I think, are Minnesota and Purdue, Illinois and Wisconsin. Those are kind of the games that I feel could go either way. Everything else is kind of, I think, going to be chalk. And by the way, Maryland's got Sparty. I would not be shocked if Maryland doesn't score 60 on them.
Yeah,
I can see it.
That defense for Sparty's not good, man. Not good. All right, so there's your Big Ten power rankings. Let's go ahead and let's do our predictions. And as I open that up here, guys, and get ready for this one, some good games in college football this week. And right now it is we've got Chris at 11-6 with the lead. I'm one game behind at 10-7. Aaron, you fell back a little bit at 9-8. So a couple games to make up, and here we go. First one we will talk about is number 7, Kentucky, is visiting Ole Miss, who's ranked number 14, and Ole Miss is 6.5-point favorites at home. I will let you go first, Chris, since you are in the lead.
I'll tell you, that means the so-called experts basically believe Ole Miss is about 2 touchdowns better. I don't think that's the
case. No, they're home, so they believe it's a pick'em.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, for me, I actually like Kentucky in this one. I like what Stoops is doing down there with that program. Give me Kentucky.
All right. I'm actually going to go against you. I'm taking the home team here in Ole Miss. I think that they're going to have something for Kentucky, especially offensively here. So. That Kentucky hasn't seen. And what do you got, Aaron? You're going to break the tie.
Dude, I don't even know. you know what? I'll go with Kentucky. I think I'm with Chris. I like what Stoops is doing there.
All right. Let's go ahead and go out to the Big 12, where we've got number 9, Oklahoma State, in the top 10 now. Is going to take on they're actually going to Baylor, where Baylor is a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Cowboys. Aaron, this is down in your neck of the woods currently. What do you think?
Dude, they might like tie me to a tree if I go against Baylor. Because Baylor is in Waco, and that's only maybe 45 minutes from here. And they get crazy on game day, believe it or not. We drove through Waco on the way to Fort Worth on a Saturday last weekend to go see the comedian. And it was nuts. It wasn't too much. It was like a smaller version of Columbus, but it's the same idea. But, you know, I'm thinking Oklahoma State. Nah, I'll stick with Baylor. Give me Baylor.
All right, you going to go with the Bears?
Yep, the Bears.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm taking the home team. I'm going with the Bears, too. I think Oklahoma State, I'm kind of surprised they've been able to do this so far without Jim Knowles. So I'm thinking Baylor's got them this time. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't Oklahoma State beat them in the Big 12 championship last year?
Yes.
It
was that really dramatic game there at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure they did. Give me Baylor. Chris, what you got?
You know what? I hate to agree with you guys, but I have to on this one. I think that the Oklahoma State, I'm surprised they've gotten this far without Knowles. I'm going with Baylor as well.
All right. Let's go ahead into the ACC, where number 22, Wake Forest, is going to be taking on number 23, Florida State. Where Florida State, believe it or not, is a 6.5-point favorite here against Wake Forest. Of course, Wake Forest is coming off of that big, unfortunate letdown in the loss against Clemson. I picked Wake Forest last week. They almost won it for me until they lost in overtime to Clemson. I think Florida State's a little bit fool's gold here. Give me Wake Forest. Aaron, what you got?
I think Wake Forest has a little bit of experience on Florida State, and Wake Forest is pretty decent on offense, man. Like, I think their quarterback's name is Sam Hartman. Dude's pretty good. Pretty good. I'll take Wake Forest.
Chris, what you got? You gonna go?
Yeah, I'm Wake Forest all the way on this one.
Hoping I could bait you into a Florida State pick there. All right. Number 2, Alabama goes on the road to take on the Hogs of Arkansas, where Alabama is a 17.5-point favorite against Arkansas. Everybody's Bama here, right? No one's
yeah.
I'm Bama, but I don't think they cover.
Really? Okay. I can actually see that.
Well, who would have thought Texas was going to do what they did? You know,
not Alabama.
Look, that's pretty clear. I don't think anybody saw that coming. One bad call by the ref is what cost Texas that game.
Yeah.
All right. And our last one here, back to the ACC, where number 10 NC State goes on the road to take on number 5 Clemson in Death Valley, where Clemson is a 6.5-point favorite. Aaron, who you got? Wolfpack. Tigers.
You know, this is a really tough game because NC State got them last year, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But that was at NC State. This is a tough call right here because, like, Clemson is beatable, but NC State's kind of sloppy.
Yep, agreed.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to pick NC State, but just I've watched one of their games and they're just a little too sloppy for me to go into Clemson and win. So I'll take Clemson.
Chris,
let me tell you, Clemson does not get lucky 2 weeks in a row. I'm taking NC State.
All right. That means I get to break the tiebreaker here. I picked Wake over Clemson last week. I told you all I think Clemson loses 3 games this season, which means I have to take NC State, don't I? I have to, so I'm going to. Wolfpack, upset, Clemson, 2 years in a row. I think Clemson's a favorite champion, guys.
I do as well, and that's what I mean. Yeah. They're extremely beatable. It's just I've seen NC State this year, and they're just if they played a little closer to what Wake Forest does, I would feel more comfortable. And I know NC State's ranked higher, but I'm not sold on them yet. If they pull this upset, cool. I'll be really happy because I don't think any of us are Dabo Sweeney fans.
No. How about this? Could there be kind of a letdown after winning in overtime against Wake Forest on the road? That maybe that took a lot out of them, you know?
It might have. It's possible, but you know, I don't really know Dabo's like strategy on player recovery, you know, like we're going hard in the paint right now in Columbus. Like those guys are hitting twice a week, right, in pads. I don't know what Clemson does. So, I mean, it's entirely possible. Yeah.
And let me tell you, Clemson, their quarterback is very inconsistent right now. When he's good, he's good. But when he's not, he's just not. I mean, he is bad.
That's a fact. That is a fact.
Yeah, my theory on why Clemson's going to lose could be also be why Wake Forest loses against Florida State, too. So, just saying. I mean, that is there. So, all right. Hey, a lot of good football this weekend. Enjoy it, guys. Sit back, kick back, have fun, eat some good food. Watch your Buckeyes. They're at 3:30 at home. That game is on the Big Ten Network if you are unaware of where to watch the game. And don't forget, next Saturday, Ohio State goes on the road. I think they play at 4 o'clock on ABC against Sparty. And we'll be, Chris and I will be down there in Marietta at the Elks Lodge having all kinds of good fun with listeners and fans of the Buckeyes down there. That's our show for this week. Make sure you tune in Sunday night where we will have our review of Ohio State's big win over the Scarlet Knights and Greg Schiano. Until then, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH in St. Carmen, Ohio, with all your heart. Until next time, OH!
IO!
Go Bucks!
Oh, come, let's sing Ohio's praise and songs through alma mater ring. While our hearts rebounding thrill and joy which death alone can still. Summer's heat or winter's cold, the seasons pass, the years will roll. Time and change will surely show how firm thy friendship, Ohio.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.